Már a fagyott, ha mi nem?
Köszönöm.
Okay. It's a big zuchus for our yeshiva to, I would say for our yeshiva to welcome, but we're guests here in this building, but for our yeshiva to be able to have this place to hear and to learn from and with Rabbi Daniel Kalish. I'm sure Rabbi Kalish has many talmidim in different capacities, but a lot of Rebbeim, our talmidim of Rabbi Kalish, myself included, and I often listen to Rabbi Kalish on my drive to work, and I want to share with you as my words of introduction that when I listen to your shiur, Rabbi Kalish, I actually don't take offense to this. I don't listen for the Torah. I listen for one thing. It's how he talks to the Talmidim throughout the entire shiur. It gives me chizuk on my way to yeshiva. Because if I were to introduce Rabbi Kalish with the piece that I hear in every shiur that I listen to, is really not just love for Talmidim, because there are a lot of Rebbeim who love their Talmidim, and every Rebbe should love their Talmidim, but it's a belief in Talmidim. It's really seeing the godless and the greatness of all the Talmidim. And like my favorite thing to listen to, which I don't even know if there's any different Torah, is like when you do you invite the parents to yeshiva or something, and there are people. It's just like the way, Rabbi Kalish, the way you talk about Talmidim is just such a beautiful thing. And it's really something that I learn a lot from, and I'm sure the Talmidim that we have here, I don't know if you have the opportunity to meet them one-on-one, but to share some Torah, I think they have some questions for you, but it's really an amazing opportunity, and I don't want to take any more time from you, so if everyone please give your undivided attention to Rabbi Kalish.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your kind words. I wanna thank the Rebbe for his kind words and say that The guys in yeshiva, there are guys here that we came along together, have made a massive impact, have changed my life. I think guys of today, kids of today, are finding something incredible. There's a vart from Rav Kook that I appreciate a lot. It says, Ikvis of the Mashiach, the generation of Mashiach, chutzpah yaski, there's going to be a proliferation of chutzpah. Now, you guys are all being very, very quiet, and the furthest thing from chutzpah, it's really impressive, the quiet. You guys have traveled, I appreciate. We both have traveled to this place. I thank the guys for traveling in. What does it mean the generation of Mashiach, chutzpah, is going to be proliferating? The spread of chutzpah, what does that mean? There's a lot to think about, a lot to talk about. It's not the main conversation. I wasn't planning on saying this. But what I have seen in today's generation, and if you understand, it can't be a bad thing. If it says the generation of Mashiach, Ikbis of the Mashiach means the footsteps of Mashiach. So it's clearly a good thing. It means somehow like some rays of Mashiach, some echo of Mashiach, is going to produce chutzpah, so we're not talking about a bad chutzpah. We have a generation today, what I have seen, I come from a world where we do, soldier, perform, let's go, just do it. It doesn't matter, almost it doesn't matter how you feel. And there's a generation that's the footsteps of Mashiach that wants to connect to things deeper. They want to connect the things in deep and profound ways. They're not willing to just do. It's going to come across as some sort of chutzpah. I don't get it, do, because this is what we do. And there's a generation, it's like the Gemara is literally a prophecy. It's wild to see a generation that wants to connect, that wants to find meaning, that wants to understand, that needs to bond further with this. It's completely changed my life. There's a song that I never, to the last couple of years, I never sang. And the last couple of years, I like feel the song because of the guys. There's a song, a Shabbos song, Ka Echsaif Nayam Shabbos. Ka Hashem Echsaif, I crave the sweetness of Shabbos. I have learned this and seen this from the guys. They don't want to just observe Shabbos. They don't want to keep Shabbos. They crave Shabbos. They want to connect to it. They want to feel it. They want to experience it. Ka'echsaif. I have kisufim for the sweetness of Shabbos. So to be around guys who are growing, who are in a sincere yeshiva, but clearly a very sincere Rebbe, is a schus to be here. And the amount I've learned from guys who are have this chutzpah, this beautiful chutzpah of not just doing it because I was told, or that's what we do, but no, I need to understand that it needs to mean something to me. Now, certainly we perform, but I want deeper, I want more. The ikvus of the Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach, which means we're shayich to understand, we're shayich to connect, we're shayich to have passion. That's what I've seen in today's Bachar, and today's youngster has this incredible kayach, this incredible force. The schus of being around and learning with guys, with Masifta Bachram, it gives this schus that you could tap into this energy. So I thank the guys for having me. I want to share Divrei Torah. I would love to meet all the guys. I don't think if we did that, we won't have time to learn together. What's your name?
Eliyahu.
Eliyahu. Nice to meet you, Eliyahu. What grade are you, Eliyahu?
Not great.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Shvi Matzliach, Eliyahu.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. What's your name?
Me?
Right here.
Benjamin Fitt.
Benjamin, what grade are you, Benjamin?
12.
Fantastic. By yeshiva, I like that you're not sitting by grades. By yeshiva, by us, grades aren't important. Another guy, a good gishmak, a good, excellent. What's your name?
Eitan
Fitt. Nice to meet you, Eitan. What grade are you in, Eitan?
12.
Fantastic. Nice to meet you, Eitan. What's your name?
Josh Stolverberg, 11th.
11th grade, excellent. That's a nice to meet you, Josh. In yeshiva, a lot of the guys push that we should learn some Shmiras HaLashon, that we should learn together Lashon, the sugyas of Lashon Hara. I want to share a couple of things with you about this sugya of Lashon Hara. It's very relevant to the Zman we're in, because Yetzias Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu says that the source of Golus is Lashon Hara. Moshe Rabbeinu says when Dasam Vaviron spoke Lashon Hara on Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Achei noida davar." Now I know the Siba for Golus. Now that I see their Galturin, their Balei Lashon Hara amongst us, I know the Siba of Golus. The Medrash says that we all know that they didn't change their name, language, and clothing was the source of the Geula. The Medrash adds as well that they didn't speak Lashon Hara. The Geula comes from not speaking Lashon Hara, and Golus comes from speaking Lashon Hara. The Chavetz Chaim in his essays writes about this, and the question, why is Golus come? Moshe Rabbeinu says, now I know we're in Golus. Now I understand the matter. If Klal Yisrael speaks Lashon Hara, I understand Golus. Certainly Lashon Hara is many, many times spoken about in the Torah. The Chavetz Chaim speaks tremendously at length the importance of speaking good on Yidden and seeing good in Yidden. But why is that the source of Golus, that there's Lashon Hara? So I want the Chevra to understand something I think is very, very important, that one of the great faiths that Klal Yisrael has, we have a faith, Hashem Echad, is one God. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elikeinu, Hashem Echad. That's an emunah that we have. There's a second faith that's a basic tenet of Yiddishkeit. Every night, Meir, we say emunah kol zayis, ki Hashem Elikeinu vein zulasai. Hashem Echad. There's one God. That's a basic belief in Yiddishkeit. One Hashem. Shem Echad. A basic belief in Yiddishkeit is Anachnu Yisrael Amay, we're the nation of Hashem. Hashem as a people on this earth, we are the nation of Hashem, we're a Yid, we're the nation of Hashem. That's a basic belief of Klal Yisrael, that we are the Am Hashem. Hashem as a people that He gave a special neshama to, that are the loyalist Hashem. Anachnu Yisrael Amay, we're the nation of Hashem. Any guy can join us. We're not snobby, or a guy could be megayer. That's 100% allowed. It's not a knock on anybody else. Anybody's entitled to join. But Hashem created a yid. That's the nation of Hashem. Anachnu Yisrael Amay. We're the people of Hashem. This emuna is a basic emuna of Klal Yisrael. The whole world is announcing to us today, Yidden, they're talking about us. It's Hashem, they're all messengers of Hashem, reminding us we are Yidden, Anachnu Yisrael Amoy, with Am Hashem. We're the loyalists to Hashem. To speak Lashon Hara on a Yid, to not see goodness of a Yid, is Golus itself. It's not just the Siba cause for Golus. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I like understand it, I see Golus. If the Yid is not recognized as special, if the Yid is not seen as something special, that is Golus. Because we represent Hashem, we're the Am Hashem. To say Lashon Hara on Yidden, any type of Yid, any group, any segment of Klal Yisrael, is automatically putting down a Yid, is automatically Golus, that's Golus. And Geula is when you start seeing good in Yidden, that's Geula. That doesn't just bring to the Geula, of course, but that's acting, that's seeing the Am Hashem, the preciousness of a Yid, that is Geula itself. So the guys wanted to learn more about Lashon Hara. I want to share a couple of thoughts with you about this sugya of Lashon Hara that I'd like to learn with the guys. In the Torah, example of friendship is David and Yonasan. It's like the ultimate example of friendship. These friends, David and Yonasan, it's an incredible friendship because David HaMelech, Yonasan's father was Shaul HaMelech. And the way it works in Klal Yisrael, the king's son is supposed to become the king. And Shaul HaMelech's son should be the king, except the Meluch is taken away from Shaul and it was given to David HaMelech. So David and Yonasan being best friends, by all logic, they should be rivals. And yet they're the example of tremendous, tremendous friendship, David and Yonasan. Now, David is running, before David was made king, he's running away from Shaul HaMelech. Shaul was a big, big tzaddik. And Shaul HaMelech thought that David was murdered by Malchus. He had rebelled against the king. And the halacha, somebody's murdered by Malchus, is chayiv misa, you have to eliminate. It's very dangerous. You can't have somebody, I don't like my own kids, I don't like when they knock the president. I don't think it's a Yiddish thing. Yidden are loyalists. We've always been loyal. It's a mishnah v'mispalel b'shloim shel malchus. To me, it's not a proper thing. You don't make fun of a president. I like humor, geschmack, jokes. To me, you don't make fun of a leader. Of a leader of a country we're in, there's gratitude, and you don't make fun of a melech. Meirid b'malchus, the president of the United States doesn't have a din of a melech. It's not a din of a melech. There's still an inyan of the melucha, of the heads of a country. There's still such an inyan. But Shaul HaMelech held that David was a meirid b'malchus. He was rebellious. And he held that David was that he had to kill David HaMelech. And David was running for his life. He was in the forest. He was running away from Shaul. Yonasan, who's best friends with David, knew the whereabouts of David, and of course didn't tell his father. He was friends with the David. So Yonasan goes to the forest to visit David HaMelech. And David HaMelech wants to know, is it safe for me to come back to the city? David was running in the forest, living as just running around. Is it safe for me to come back to the city? Or do I have to continue to hide out? So he asked his friend Yonasan, when you go home, Yonasan was going home for Rosh Chodesh Sudah. Every Rosh Chodesh, Shaul HaMelech would have a Zevach Mishpacha, would make a whole Sudah for his family, every Rosh Chodesh. I went with my wife to visit Rebbetzin Brim, who's a big tzaddikus. She told us to make sure to have Rosh Chodesh Sudah. Every Rosh Chodesh, you should have a big Sudah. Rosh Chodesh is a time we count, all us Yidden count the lunar year, the moon, we count the year of the moon. Rosh Chodesh is a time of Chiddush, of renewal, of coming back. She said, make a Rosh Chodesh Suda, every Rosh Chodesh make a Suda. So Shaul HaMelech's family would have a Rosh Chodesh Suda. So Yonasan was going back for this family party. So David HaMelech said to Yonasan, could you check out? and see if your father is still mad at me. Is it safe for me to return to the city? So Yonasan said, I'll find out. And they said the following deal. When Yonasan comes back to the forest, if my father, Shaul HaMelech, still mad, I'm going to shoot an arrow. Yonasan is a prince, so he has a youngster, he has a servant who takes care of him, some sort of shamish. I'm going to shoot an arrow. If I tell the youngster who's fetching the bows, the arrows, if I tell him the arrow's further, it's further where you're looking, it's further, that means David HaMelech, run for your life. If I tell him it's closer, that means you can come back to the city. So Yonasan then goes home. He mentions David HaMelech's name to his father. He just has a mere mention of his friend David's name, and his father takes a spear and fires it at Yonasan. Yonasan ducks, and it goes right into the wall. His father is still very, very much wants to kill David HaMelech, feels he's a murder by Malchus. So Yonasan goes back to the forest, shoots the arrow, says to the youngster, the arrow's further, David HaMelech knows to run away. Then the youngster collects all the arrows, goes back to the city, and Yonasan and David have a very famous conversation where they promise loyalty together, them, their children, Hashem, Yeh, Beini, Veincha, Veinzar, Veinzarecha, they make a pact of loyalty to forever. Always fascinates me, two people can say, let's have a pact. It's amazing you're allowed to include your kids in a pact. That you're allowed to say your kids also, that's amazing. But that's what they do. They make a pact of friendship together, David and Yonasan. For many years, I had a kasha, guys. Why'd they make this whole charade? Shoot an arrow. If it's further, run away. For many years, I was bothered by, why didn't he just tell him? Why didn't they talk? David and Yonasan should have a conversation. And let him tell him, my father's mad at you, run away. Why didn't they talk? Why'd they need this whole pact of shooting the arrow? It's further, run, it's closer, come back. What's the point of that? Just talk together. For many years I had this kasha. I thought maybe you could say like the kid would tell on them, but they send the kid away anyway. He sends the kid back to the city and they end up schmoozing anyway, David and Yonasan. And a matter of fact, their conversation of loyalty, Shaul HaMelech wouldn't have been very pleased, and yet they had a conversation of friendship. So why did they have to make this whole charade of shooting the arrow, it's further? Why didn't they talk? It's dangerous, David, run away. Zahu. So I found the gra. I found the gra that says, that asked this kasha, why didn't they just talk? And the gra says as follows. When Klal Yisrael captured Eretz Yisrael, we captured Yericho, the rule was we couldn't have any pleasure from the loot, from the booty. And one yid took from the booty and a plague went around Klal Yisrael. People started being nifter. And Yeshua asked Hashem, please tell me who the sinning yid, who took from the booty. And God said, do you think I would speak Lashon Hara? I would never speak bad on a yid, I'm not saying. Instead, Hashem told Yeshua, draw lots, and through the lots, you'll figure out which person it was. It turned out to Achan, this Yid Achan. And he knew. Now, Hashem said anyway who it was. Hashem made the lots turn out to Achan. So what does Hashem mean? I don't want to speak Lashon Hara. We learn a halacha. Even when it's mutter to say Lashon Hara, say as few words as possible. Hashem didn't want to speak out, it's Achan, do a lottery, and you'll find out, even it's mutter, it's l'tayelis, but Hashem doesn't want to speak Lashon Hara. Shouldn't be spoken bad words on a yid. It should never be spoken bad words on a yid. It's actually going to be relevant for the conversation we're going to have, that Achan, do the guys know what prayer Achan wrote? This yid, do you know what prayer he wrote? Does anybody know what prayer he wrote? The end of Aleinu, what Yidin Davin, the end of Aleinu, of every tefillah. Al kein nekavlecha, we hope to Hashem. The words al kein nekave, the first oisiyas are achan. Al is ayin, kein chaf, nekave is nun achan. He wrote that prayer. It's It's going to be significant in a minute, but he wrote a beautiful prayer. Of course, a Yid did tshuva, a Yid's precious. But we learn from there, that Yid Achad is where we learn, even when a person needs to say Lashon Hara, say as few words as possible. So Hashem didn't want to say Lashon Hara, Hashem instead did lotteries. So, of course, the Shirish's Yidden are precious. Yidden are wonderful. Yidden are good. The very Yid that we learn not to say Lashon Hara, even when it's mutter, don't speak out words, is the Yid who composed the prayer that all of Klal Yisrael says, a prayer of loyalty to Hashem. Kol berach l'cha sechra, every knee bows to you, Hashem. A prayer of loyalty. Yidden are good. A Yid who sinned, a Yid who did an aveira, made a mistake, but at our core we're good. Don't say bad words about Yidden. Even when you could say, say as little as possible, because Yidden are good. Now, says the Gra, David and Yonah's son, David needed to know, does Shaul want to kill me or not? But even when it's mutter to speak Lashon Hara, say as few words as possible. So they didn't want to talk about it. Even David HaMelech's life was on the line and he asked to know, but they didn't want to talk about it. Let's say as few words as possible. So they made a whole deal. They shot the arrow. They said, let's not talk about it. Instead of saying, yes, Shaul wants to kill you, David, instead of saying those words, let's just make, we'll shoot an arrow, I'll say it's further. So if it's true Shaul wants to kill you, David, let's not even discuss it. Let's not say from our mouths anything bad about Shaul HaMelech. So we'll just make this charade, we'll make this game, and you'll see to run away. We won't say any words. So that, to me, it's nifla, it's a pella here in such a matziv, it's a pella that this is what they're thinking about, his life's on the line, and this is what he's thinking about. Now, when you learn the halachas of Shmiras Halashin, the halachas are very, very difficult. Avi came, he's part of our, we learn together every day the halachas of Lashon Hara, and a guy came to yeshiva, a government official came to yeshiva, and he said, he joined us for the Seder. He said, what are you guys studying? So we said, we study the laws of saying slander on another person. And we taught this guy, do you not let us say slander? He was a very impressive guy. He was a good person. He couldn't believe it. He said, it's impossible not to slander another person. He asked one of the guys, he said, I don't understand. How can you do this? This level, David and Yonah, and David's life is on the line, and he doesn't, the least words possible, his life's on the line. Does your father want to kill me? He wants to kill me, I got to run. No, let's not, it's impossible. And you learn the halacha is the nuance of Lashon Hara. What are we supposed to spend our lives biting our lips? And this guy, it was amazing. This guy came to yeshiva, and he said, I can't believe this. He said, what are you guys doing? You bite? You're like, what does that mean? Of course, you just, people slander. You say bad things. That's what you feel. How could somebody bite their lips? How could somebody live like that? That's what this man asked us when he came to yeshiva. And over in the Torah, Hashem speaks about not slandering another yid. But such a zahira, such a care. And hear a lesson of somebody whose life's on the line, and he's still not saying extra words. What's the kayach of such a thing? The only eitzah to be zara and lashon hara, first is to see good in ourselves, to know that we're good people in a deep and profound way. There's a lot of shame that lives in our generation, and it points us to what our avod is. Today, we're all a generation that's been exposed to a lot, all of us, you and me and anybody else who lives in this generation. We've been exposed to a lot by Hashem. And it gives us a clear direction that Hashem wants us to work on, to the understanding with the people of Hashem, me and you. Precious, precious people. If we don't see good in ourselves, we can't see good in others. Knowing we're a soul, what I learned from the guys, I thought I was a tin can till I met the guys. I thought, okay, you know, if you learn enough, no. We are, the Nishmas Yisrael is precious and powerful. Knowing on ourselves our own preciousness, our own importance, our own Kiddush Shamayim that we're perfectly designed for. And then seeing good in Yidden. And knowing a Yid is precious and important. It's very, very easy on a person you hold of and a prestigious person, not to say Lashon Hara. In matter of fact, somebody you hold of, you even things they do bad, you like think of good reasons why they did it. In halacha, in dan lekav schus, an average person, if it's a 50-50 thing, you're mechoyev to judge them favorably. If it looks bad, you're mechoyev not to judge on an average person. Dan lekav schus. The rules of tzedek tishpera misecha, if the person's 50-50, an average guy, they usually don't sin, but they sometimes sin, an average person. So the rule is, if it's 50-50, you judge them favorably. If it looks bad, you're mechoyev not to judge. But on a tzedek, a person is committed to Ratzon Hashem, even if it looks bad, you're mechoyev to judge favorably. That's not just a din. We are built that way. On somebody who's a tzaddik, it's logical. Even if it looks bad, but they never do bad. It's logical to see good. The only eitzah not to be a Baal Lashon Hara is to be nishtaymin, is to understand the goodness of the Yid. If we, to understand our own goodness, our own preciousness, our own importance, and to see it on Yid, it's the only eitzah to be Zahir. If Hashem warned us over and over not to speak Lashon Hara, deeper yet what Hashem's telling us is recognize the preciousness of Yid. Somebody you're nishtaymin from, you're amazed by, you're not going to bash, you're not going to put down. The only way, we're left with no choice. What the halachas of Lashon Hara tell us is be amazed and be impressed and understand the preciousness of Yid. But you can only see it on somebody else if you see it on yourself. If we don't see our own precious, this is not meant for a certain type of guy. This is meant for a 60-year-old Talmud Chacham, 20-year-old aspiring, 15-year-old, 4-year-old, doesn't matter the level. This is for every single Yid. Our only choice is to understand. It's amazing from Hilchas Lashon Hara we learn that we have to hold of ourselves, our own importance, our own ruchnius, our own, that we're an neshama with a precious mission, and to see that in others. A bacher said, that when this guy asked the bacher, how could you guys not speak Lashon Hara? The guy said, we hold of ourselves, and as such, we see good in others. As such, we see good in others. You see good in others, you're not inclined to put down, to bash, to knock others. So I wanted to share this nekuda, this halach of Lashon Hara. The other things we can learn, but we need to sing together. We've been together too long. We have Johnny, let's sing. Let's pray for our people. We're talking about seeing good in our people and precious people. If the guys, can we sing something together?
Please.
Let's sing a Shia Samecha together then. We either can talk more Lashon Hara or if the guys want to talk something else. Johnny, a Shia Samecha.
Oh, yeah.
Questions. Let's wait. Let's let the Talmidim ask first, and then. Let's wait. Let's request the first question. Does any of our Talmidim want to ask? Want to ask Rabbi Kalish your question? No. Oh, here it is. Rabbi Elifin, yeah, go. Oh, yeah. Rabbi Elifin, go for it.
Rashiva talked about how amazing it is to be a Yid. The beauty of a Yid, yourself, someone else, whatever kind, whatever flavor, whatever color. A lot of boys, I find, are struggling. Some of them say, if I would have a choice to wake up, a Jew or a non-Jew, I'd rather be a non-Jew. So how do we feel it? How do we feel the beauty, and how do we connect with it?
I want to first say that I appreciate that that the guys didn't ask a question. I appreciate that a lot. Because, and I find this by the guys would never quit, the guys by us also. I love that nobody wanted to ask a question. I love that. I mean that honestly. I love it because I don't earn the right that they would ask. If they really, they don't want to just say a question. Guys in yeshiva by us also, if you say ask a question, means share what you, I don't know you, no way. There's something very real about that, and I appreciate that a lot. If it was a forced question that you weren't bothered by, what's the point? And the real question you're bothered by, why would you ask, some guy shows up, why would you ask that? The real, what people are bothered by is very, very precious and valuable. Very precious and valuable. It's deep. It's important to question. You don't just ask somebody. My wife and I went, and I want to get to the question the Rebbe asked. The Rebbe's, we know each other a little bit, so the Rebbe asked the question, no, but the guys didn't ask. I appreciate it a lot. You're right for not asking. Somebody has to earn it, to really say what you're bothered by. I want to say, my wife and I went to a school, Shabbaton. It's a long story. I wanted to see, I've had the schus of learning with guys and being around guys for many, many years. And I wanted, somebody had asked me, but I was curious, it was a whole story, but my wife and I went on 6 Beis Yaakov Shabbatons. And we went on a certain Shabbaton, and a girl asked the question to somebody, there was like a panel, and a girl asked the question on Tznius. She asked the question on Tznius. And the Rav, who was a well-meaning person, went into like a 25-minute speech on the laws of Tznius. He started saying a shach and a taz. If they were like smicha students, it would have been like the best speech ever. The whole place was comatose. Now, what happened? She asked the question. He said such intelligent, good shtick lechtayrus. Do the guys know the difference between a kasha and a shayla? What's the difference? Where's Menachem? I need Menachem Lifshitz. Menachem, do you know the difference between a kasha and a shayla?
Not really.
That, even that question, is that a kasha or a shayla? So, Menachem, I want to tell you the difference between a kasha and a shayla.
All the ninth graders know.
Really?
Every one of them.
Wow.
What's the word, Aaron? What's a kasha?
A kasha is a contradicting question.
Or what do you call it? What's the first? Attack.
Very good. Attack. The difference is excellent. What's your name?
Aaron.
Great job. Thank you, Aaron. So Aaron said it, but Shiloh is I need information. A Shiloh is I'm missing information. A Kasha's an attack. Whenever anybody asks you a question, you have to ask yourself, is it a Kasha or a Shiloh? Anybody who learns Torah, the Gemara has kashas and shailas. They're very different. The same words, by the way, could be a shaila or a kasha. A shaila is you're unsure. What bracha do I make that's a shaila? I'm uncertain. I need information. A kasha's an attack. If somebody asks you, why there's a mechitz in shul? If it's about tshuva, a guy is like 40 years old. He is unacquainted to Yiddishkeit. He says, what's that fence in the congregation? That's a shiloh. If it's a 35-year-old feminist, says, what's that? It's not a shiloh. She wants to know why you're bad to ladies. Whatever she's saying, it's a kasha. You always have to ask yourself, am I being asked a kasha or a shiloh? And the same words could be a kasha or a shiloh. When the girl asked the Rebbe, a law of tznius, he thought she was asking a shaila. He thought she was like a student studying smicha. And he went on a 25-minute speech, Avi. Nobody listened because he didn't answer her question. She wasn't asking a shaila, I promise you. She couldn't give a flip. She wasn't asking, like, could you give me, like, detailed laws of tznius? And he went on 25 minutes. The entire room was comatose because she didn't ask a shaila. She had a kasha. You know what she was asking? She's a girl. She was saying, is beauty, am I just dangerous? Is there anything good about beauty? Does it count? That's what she was asking. It doesn't matter, she asked a tznius shot. It came out, she couldn't articulate that or didn't want to articulate that or was afraid to articulate. That's what she was asking. His answer absolutely had no connection to the question. She was bothered by something. It was a kasha, not a shiloh. So when you open the floor to questions, people are saying things, people are asking things that they're bothered by. They're asking, you have to earn that right. It's not just anybody, somebody just asks a straight. So I like that the guys were quiet, I love it. I want to say to all the questions, I want to say the questions are wonderful. Don't be afraid of your kashas. From the place of our questions, we get amazing places. I promise, I've learned this from the guys. I'm the Talmud of the guys. They've taught me in my own life the frictions I have. You get cool place. I'm going to tell you a story with the friction that I have that I completely owe you to the guys. This is not a trick not to answer the Rebbe's kasha. We'll try to get there. I just, if I feel it, I have to share it with the guys. So I'll tell you a friction. The guys taught me, because I've learned, the guys are very aware of their emotions and their thoughts and feelings. Those are all kashas we love to ignore. Just be strong. No. I went to South Africa, and a guy asked me to speak this past summer. I was there, and a guy asked, can we speak? And he told me, he like said, hemmed and hawed. He wanted to tell me that he can't stand Tachlin. Thursday and Mondays make him crazy, Monday and Thursdays. He was like afraid to say, I promise he has much more things he's afraid to say than not liking Tachlin. He's like us all, he's human. And a long davening is hard for him, like us all. But he was afraid to confront his humanism. There's tremendous difficulty and badness. We have to confront our humanism. And don't be afraid if questions are friction. Something's like, I'll tell you something that happened to me. If I could tell you, and I completely owe this to the guys in Yeshiva, 100%. All of us, we're davening for Klal Yisrael now. All of us are thinking about our people. And it's very, very normal that the tefillah early months ago, that kapitel tillim at the end of davening was fire. Now, 6-7 months later, it doesn't have the same energy and passion. That's normal. It's months, people are tired, people, you lose focus. It's hard to continue to daven with chiyus. And I was also struggling with that. I brought my daughter to the mall to get a haircut. And I was in the hallway. She was in the barbershop. I was in the hallway. I was on the phone with Aaron Hartman from Florida, Aaron Hartman. And a man comes up to me, a strong, big man, comes right into my face and says, get out of Gaza now! I was like taken aback. I don't have an exact direct line to the army, but the guy in my face, he says it I just don't know what to say, I'm quiet, he says it a second time. He then spits on the floor, says, Iron Heart, I'm like, everything okay, Rebbe? I'm like, sort of. But Lamaisa, the guy's in my face screaming. After this, I felt a very, very selfish thought. I was very shaken up, scary. Guys in your face, I thought he would knock. Who knows what he would do? And I felt a very selfish thought. The younger version, before I met the guys, I would have ignored and denied the thought. I'm not into that anymore. The guys taught me to very, very much feel your humanness and process things. No way, guys aren't willing. The kids of today, chutzpah yaski, they actually like feel and process thoughts. I had an incredibly selfish thought. It's very embarrassing, and I want to share my embarrassing thought. I thought to myself, Netanyo, could you stop the war already? You see what it's costing me. Fair, that's amazingly selfish. I was frustrated, Netanyo. So the younger me, I didn't think that. I would have denied it and pushed it away. But the guys taught me to be human and to experience something. Hashem put it in me, a very selfish thought. Amazingly selfish. I'm thinking about me, like, you're so selfish. They're yidden in captivity. There's soldiers, there's families that have lost. Like, Kalish is worried because some guy at the mall is tough and drip, and you like the worship. And now, you selfish guy. Yes, that's how Hashem made me. Yes, I had that thought. Before Menachem, I met the guys, and they changed my life. So I would have ignored the thought. I said, selfish. This is what I thought. Today, I actually thought about that. I thought to myself, okay, Daniel, this is what you're thinking. Let's process this thought. So what do you want, Daniel? What are you saying? So you want to call Netanyahu, and you want to tell him what? You want to tell him stop already. I was thinking about it, okay? So you want him to stop fighting. I am not getting involved in politics or whether what the halacha is. These are deep shailas. I'm talking about a personal conversation. I said to myself, one second. So you're telling him stop. So what does that look like? Stop. There are 100 yidden in captivity. What does that mean? Just stop. What do you mean, just stop? What are you saying? I promise, because of the selfish thought, I've been davening strong, much, much better since. It's like, are you kidding? What do you mean, stop? What do you mean, so, okay? They're yidden that are in captivity. I was like much more committed. I'm much more committed. Let's daven. Let's work. Let's do something. They're yidden in captivity. It only became real to me because of a thought that you had to think about. Kashas produced. That's a kasha. That's a friction. That's a problem. Selfish thought. No shame. You work through. You get good places. I've learned this. I've seen guys come to tremendous places. Kashas. I love this kasha. If somebody has the sense, I'd rather be a guy that's a friction. I'm not telling you a teretz. No way. I personally meet you guys. I think our people are crazy. I personally don't have that friction, but I don't. A guy has that friction. It's amazing. I personally don't have that friction. Johnny and I have been traveling since Simchas Torah. I've been running around to our people. We're in awesome. I say to the guy who has the friction, you're not good. You're not getting around enough. And I'd say, get around. We're in unbelievable people. I have traveled since. I've never run around as much in my life. It's very hard. I'm missing my shul, the Shabbos. I try not to miss the shul. I Baruch Hashem, I'm in yeshiva for Shabbos and have a shul and rotate Shabbosis. I'm running around since Simchas Torah. I just want to meet our people. We've had kumzitzes with SAR, with Frisch, with here, with Satmar Chassidim. I've run around. Our people are, I'm like blown away. There's no people like our people, none, anywhere. A guy by us had one of the nicest minyanim in the country, was in a rehab in Tennessee. He davened with another yid, Aaron, Kabbalah Shabbos. The next week, another person joined. The next week, five more yid joined. He described the holiness of this Kabbalah Shabbos. I'm running around to yid, and I don't have the friction. What I say to anybody who has this friction, excellent! I mean, Ernst, you have a friction. Any single guy has a friction. I'd rather be a guy. The main thing, I don't want to answer the question. I want to say, don't duck from friction. If you really have that, dig deep in yourself. That's cool. I had a most selfish thought and it became very good for me. I say to any guy, he struggles. You're real people. You say, Shaloya Sani Guy, I don't feel it. One of the first things in the morning, we say, Asher Baruch Abanu, Birchas HaTorah, thank you, Hashem, Asher Baruch Abanu. So a guy said, I don't feel it. I'll give you a hug. If a guy would, and I thank you for not standing up and telling me, because I don't deserve to hear your frictions. We'll be closer, I'll deserve to hear it. I don't deserve it. If a guy would come to me and say, Rebbe, I have a friction. I'm upset. We all have moments. That thought is, you could do things with that. That's a good thought. I wake up, and you know what? I'm upset. By the way, I'd ask the guy who he's upset at. Maybe somebody hurt him. I don't know. I would really ask the guy what he's feeling. The friction is not a problem. If there's a guy here who had a real thought, and inside he says, I don't know if I want to be here. What I beg you, I don't want to give you an answer to your question. I beg you, embrace the question. You have a friction. Everything in Yiddishkeit is telling me, Asher Baruch Abanu Mikol Amim, Shalo Yosani Goy, Kiddush Friday night, Birchas HaTorah, everything Yiddish is celebrating. Nisan is our birth. We're Yidden. Some guy comes, says, Yidden, I'm proud, I'm excited to be a Yid. I don't feel that way. Excellent. Excellent. I say embrace the friction. Do some research and ask yourself, what are you experiencing? I learned this from the guys. I was afraid of this, guys. I was afraid. It changed my life. I denied a selfish thought. I have many selfish thoughts. A letter comes to me. It says, Mr. Daniel Kalish, I'm insulted. Didn't say rabbi. I have no smich. I don't deserve the title rabbi. And yet it's, and by the way, when it says rabbi, I don't feel good. But it said Mr. It's a stucco letter written by a computer, Mr. Daniel Kalish. and it bothers me. I don't duck. You know what? It's excellent. Do you know I have very good conversations with self because of that? That what covet is, what I want in life, what am I after? Don't duck your feelings. So if a group of guys, one or two or ten or anything you have, if you had a big friction, I don't feel a sense of pride to be in. I say that, wow, that's something to think about, to analyze, to figure out. Hashem, people are saying it's a schus. The bracha is everything in Yiddishkeit seems to say. This is great. I don't feel that. That's a cool friction to experience. Don't duck it is what I say. So I'm not answering your question. I'm encouraging your question. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If I had that feel, I'd ask, by the way, maybe the guy's upset at a certain yid. Maybe he doesn't know what a yid is. Maybe he hasn't seen yid. I look at our people. There are no people like our people. There's nothing like our people in the world. Nothing. Yes, we've traveled. I'm not joking around. We've ran like Meshugayim. I don't do this. We've ran like Meshugayim to all segments of our people. If we have one takeaway, there is no people like our people. That's my personal thing, but I'm not shaming you. And if I had that thought for a minute, first of all, I say, join us, come around. Johnny, we let people come around. Come join, come see, come experience. But I want to say that don't be afraid of the friction. Kasha's attacks are good. They bring terutzim. The closest thing to a teretz is a kasha. Don't be afraid of your frictions. Find somebody who deserves to hear it, though. Don't be afraid to share it, but somebody has to deserve it. That's personal. That's real. Don't just share it in a Q&A with some stranger. Find somebody who deserves it, and then open up and say, I have a friction. Speak to a friend, but real, embrace it. I had the most selfish thought became the thought of caring about others. It's not bad. The Hashem designed us very well, very well. And frictions and thoughts and difficulties we can embrace and work through. So that's what I wanted to say on the topic of questions to the guys. Somebody has this friction that they don't feel. That it's good to be a yid. That's a huge friction. That's what to analyze. They have to ask many questions. Am I doing what do I think is good? What's happening? And it's a very important. Maybe you see something very cool out there. You're into it. There's real stuff. There's real stuff to analyze. I'm not afraid of it. You don't be afraid of it. Discover, work out, think out, come to a place. You get places from these places inside. So I want to encourage the guys, don't be afraid of your kashas. Kashas bring to it some, we love kashas. And friction and funny. Jealousy is not the problem. The problem is unchecked jealousy. When a person's jealous of a friend, it's a big opportunity to talk to yourself. What am I after? You learn chazal, you learn all sorts. You mask him, David. So if somebody has a friction of feeling such a thing, it would be. I'm not pretending with the guys. I've gone around since the main takeaway. If we would say a takeaway, our people are crazy. Our people are wildly impressive. That's the takeaway. All kol tfutzos Yisrael. God, there's no place. This you go to all the segments of our people. I played to the guys. We'll sing. We have to sing a couple, two more songs. But I played to a guy. I played to the guys in yeshiva. Some youngster, maybe others, would see us struggling. It became the rallying song in our yeshiva. We need guitars. We're not going to play it now. Elokai nishamash nesatbi toirahi. This beautiful. This guy who was more soul than person who was killed on Simchas Torah. This bacher, it's been the rallying cry of yeshiva, this song, this incredible song. Hello, you heard this song, this bacher?
Hello,
very good, very good. Nifla. So to me, the takeaway in an honest way of going around and meeting Yidden, it's hard. Manhattan, is there a place, like one after another, Yidden like Yidden, Yidden are feeling closer than ever. Do we have challenges even by Yidden? It's gullus, there are challenges. But don't be afraid. If you have that feeling and you have that thought and you have that hergish, Avi Maska, we could talk an answer, but an answer would be cheap. An answer would tell you not to ask the question. In a Q&A, in yeshiva we have Q&Q, questions and questions. An answer would be cheap of your journey to somebody who's not worthy of hearing your questions. So I say to all the guys, please don't be afraid of your frictions. of those are questions. A selfish thought, I had a question. We should stop the work because it affected, because some guy got in my face. So selfish. I don't shame myself. Hashem made me just feel and think, and from that place, we can get to beautiful places. So that's what I wanted to share with the question. If we could sing, first, Keliyata Vaydeka Le Kairay Mecca from the Bala Tanya, that would be an appropriate song. Ask him. Sitting next to Reb Geisler, one of the tzaddikim, one of the great mechanchim in the world, because talmidim are here, and I said to the chevra, we'll sing two songs. And then we sang maybe one song, and then like things got, we had to move on. Reb Geisler turned and said, you said two songs. It taught me a lesson in honesty, and it taught me, you said you're going to sing. Zmir is a big deal. La halacha, if you commit to a mitzvah, if you say you're going to go to a kever, it's brought the Pasach Shulchan, the Gruz Talmud, says Seneder. He said, you said two songs. He only sang one. Hashiyo Vesamecha.